Wednesday night, we were in Florida, and Joe's pastor was out of town. He was in Washington, D.C., and so I got to hear Joe preach, and I'll tell you, folks, Joe preached the best message I've heard. That's my son-in-law, by the way, in case you don't know. Preached the greatest message I've heard him preach, and preached on Deuteronomy chapter 6, and the influence that we have, and he's really dealing with parents and their influence. Of course, he's a youth pastor, trying to encourage parents to influence their children for the Lord. But also just in, I've got prime seats right here, buddy. We even get popcorn to people in the front row, so that's good stuff. I'll back up a little bit so I don't spit on you, Dwayne, and we'll be all right, good. But also the idea of discipling someone, influencing someone for the Lord. And that's exactly what our lesson is about this morning, this matter of influence. You know, God has placed you where you are to influence people for Christ. Now, I want you to stop for just a moment and think about the people you spent time with this week. In the workplace, in the home, in the community. Did you influence them for Christ? Did you have a positive influence in the place that God has put you? Now, we're going to talk this morning about a lady that you probably don't know her name, probably never heard her name. The only way you would even know her name is if you read through the Bible every year and you read about her. She's not found in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith. I've never heard a sermon about her. Again, you probably don't know her name. But she had great influence. And God used her to fulfill one of his great promises. Okay, so you should be in 2 Kings chapter 11 by now. And we'll read verse 1. And we're going to read about the reign of Athaliah. Athaliah, and it says 2 Kings 11:1, and when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. So we need to figure out who this lady is, this Athaliah. And actually, if you look on your chart, you can see her name. There in the green, kind of halfway down toward the left, you see the name Athaliah? All right. Who was she? Who were her parents? Jezebel and Ahab. Ahab, you see him over there on the red. He was a king of Israel. Good king or bad king? Bad. In fact, he was the worst. That's exactly right. In 2 Kings 16:33, it says he was the most wicked king of all Judah up to that time. Excuse me, of Israel up to that time. The son of Omri, he reigned in Samaria 22 years. Wicked, wicked king. One of the reasons he was so wicked was one of the wives that he had. And her name was Jezebel. Yeah, I've never heard anybody named Jezebel. Have you? Anybody name their children or their daughter Jezebel? I hope not. What a tragic thing that would be. So she was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. And in that day, obviously, the king would marry several wives. And most of those wives, they married for political purposes, to strengthen their power base, to yoke up with these folks as allies. So Jezebel is a worshiper of Baal, false worship. She brings that false worship to Samaria. Ahab builds a temple to Baal. They have children. One of them is this lady. I don't know if I should call her a lady, this woman, named Athaliah. She was also the wife of Jehoram. Okay, and you see Jehoram on your list there, and you can see Athaliah right by that. So, as you remember, Jehoshaphat, who is a godly king, had yoked up with Ahab, and because of that, his family yoked up. His son got in. Jehoram marries Athaliah, this wicked, I think of her as the wicked witch. You know, ding dong, the witch is dead. Well, she's going to be dead here in a minute. She's still very alive at this point. And so this is just a wicked, wicked woman. And so here she is. She comes on the scene, and She's married to Jehoram. She's wicked. She causes Jehoram to do evil. But I want you to hold your place there and just turn back a page to 2 Kings 8. 2 Kings 8 and verse 18. In fact, we'll start at verse 16. And in the fifth year of Joram, now same guy, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being then king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. 32 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Now listen, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel as did the house of Ahab, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. What was her name? Athaliah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now listen, yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David his servant's sake, as he had promised, to give him always a light and to his children. So this guy, Joram, is in the line of David. He is a wicked man, marries a wicked woman. And yet it said God did not destroy the family line because of the promise he made to David. Now, I want to read that promise to you, okay? It's found in 2 Samuel 7:11, and it says this. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Do you remember that? We taught on this a long time ago when David wanted to make a house for God. Remember that? He wanted to build him a temple, and God said, no, because you have shed blood, you're not going to build me a house, but I'm going to give you a house. Okay? That's the context. Now listen to the rest of the passage. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, what is the promise that God made to David? Hello. Okay. You're going to have a kingdom that's going to last forever. So to have that, David's seed has to continue. Now, I'm making a big deal out of this because this is a promise of God. God promised David, look, David, because you want to build me a house, I'm going to build you a house, and your house, your kingdom, is going to continue eternally. Now, as you look at your sheet, all those names in the blue, starting with David, all right, there's where David's line started. It continued in Solomon. It continued in Rehoboam. It continued in Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Ahaziah. It continued in all of these people. By the way, who's going to be the last king in the line of David? Jesus Christ. And by the way, I know when you read the genealogies in the New Testament, you read through this and you think, oh my land, what's the point? The point is that Jesus Christ was in the line of David. And that is crucial because that's what God had promised. And if David's line is wiped out, we got a serious problem. How serious? If God's promises aren't kept, we got big trouble. Now, we talked about this 2 weeks ago and spent the whole lesson on it. But folks, your salvation is completely dependent upon the promise of God. If God doesn't keep his promise, you have no assurance of heaven. If God doesn't do what he says he's going to do, we might as well take this book and open the window and throw it out. If God doesn't keep the promise. You find one promise that God made and he doesn't keep, then the rest are suspect. Isn't that true? Joey, when somebody comes to your shop and they lie to you once, the check's in the mail. I'll pay you, I'll be here tomorrow, and I will bring you the cash. And they don't show up, And they say, oh man, I blew it. I'll be here tomorrow. And that happens a couple of times. What happens? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now think about this, folks. What if you can find a promise in this book that God made that he doesn't keep? Just one. If you find one promise God doesn't keep, then what happens to all the other promises? They're all suspect. I mean, if God can't keep his word in one situation, what's to say he can keep it in any of them? Now, God said the line of David is going to be established and it's going to be eternal. There's always going to be someone to sit on David's throne. Now, you say, Seaman, you're sure making a big deal out of this. Yes, I am, because this Athaliah, who is the mother of Ahaziah, of course, they had many. Jehoram had many children, but one of them was a, she was the wife, and they had all these children. She caused him to walk in wicked ways. He dies. You remember Jehu comes along? And he kills them, and he kills a bunch of them, okay? Well, all right, so Jehu killed Ahaziah, her son. So she says, you know what? I'm going to reign. And to do that, she sets out to wipe out all of the royal heirs to reign. Now, let me ask you a question. Was Athaliah in the line of David? She was married to someone who was in the line of David. But, of course, the line has to be carried on by a male. Okay? Athaliah decides she wants to be queen. Now, her husband, Jehoram, had killed all his brothers. All the sons of Jehoshaphat had been killed. All those people in the line of David. The Arabians had slain all of Jehoram's sons except for Ahaziah. So there's one guy left named Ahaziah. Ahaziah is slain. Jehu killed 42 princes of Judah. And so she sets out to destroy all the seed that could take the throne. In other words, she sets out to kill all of the family of David. Now she's the wicked witch of the West. Here she comes. And she begins to kill all these children. Some of them were her own grandchildren. And she kills them, and she kills them, and she kills them. And she thinks she kills them all. But is that possible? Could she possibly kill them all? How come? Because God said he was going to preserve the line. All right? You with me? All right, let's move on. Let's see what happens in verse 2. We just looked at the reign of Athaliah. Now, that reign is going to continue for a little while. But look at verse 2. But Jehosheba, how many know about her? This is the lady. Here she is. A lady you've never heard of. Look what she does. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, sister of Ahaziah. Now, let's stop for a second. Was Jehoram a good king? No, he was not. Okay. No, and Ahaziah was a wicked king. So here this daughter of King Jehoram was a wicked, wicked guy. He's the one that married Athaliah. Okay? So here's this lady, Jehosheba. She's got a wicked father. She's got a wicked stepmother. She's the sister of Ahaziah who becomes king, and he's wicked. So we got all these wicked people. And Jehosheba took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. Now here's a lady you've never heard of. You may never hear of her again. she, we will find out, was married to Jehoiada the high priest. She has a wicked father, a wicked brother, a wicked stepmother, but she's married to the high priest. Now, picture the scene. Athaliah, this wicked witch, is going out and killing everybody. She's got her soldiers going everywhere, trying to kill all the royal seed, trying to wipe out the whole line so that only she will have a right to the throne because she's the queen. And she's doing all of this, and here's this Jehoshaphat. I don't know how she did it. But somehow she sneaks in to the royal nursery. And she gets this one-year-old child, Joab, and steals him away, and his nurse, and they take them, and they put them in the temple, and they hide them in the bedchamber from Athaliah. Wow. Somebody we've never heard of, don't know anything about, not famous, but she did something great. Because God used her to fulfill his promise. Because Joash, guess what? Was he in the line of David? Yes, he was. The line of David was hanging by a thin thread. One person. But God had said, David, you want to build me a house. I'm not going to let you, but I'm going to build a house for you. And it's going to be eternal. And here we are in this line of David is hanging by a thread, one person, and the queen is sending all of her soldiers to kill all the line. And Jehoshaphat shows up, and she gets that little child and steals that child away. Wow. By the way, you think she was in danger? What would have happened if that wicked queen had found out what she did? She'd be dead too. She risked her life. She risked everything to save that little baby. What an influence. What a nobody who changed the course of history. What if she hadn't done that? Now, I know we could play this game. I mean, God's going to keep his promise one way or the other. You know, well, if it hadn't been her, somebody else would have. Yeah, I know that. But it was her. She was the one that stepped up and said, I'm going to save the line of David. I'm going to save this child. Wow, what an influence. That action that happened 2,600 years ago, we're talking about it today because she did right. Because she stood and did what she ought to do and saved that child's life, even though it probably endangered her own life. I'm sure it endangered her own life. She stood up and she had influence. She saved that child's life. And God's promise was fulfilled. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't strike you like it does me. But I just think, wow, here's a nobody that did something great for God. Because the simple matter of fact is, let's be honest, we're kind of nobodies. I'm a nobody. You know, I'm not, none of us are world famous great Christians, you know. I haven't seen any of your names in the sword of the Lord. You know? But you can have an influence. You can be a Jehoshaphat. You can stand when nobody else is standing, and you can do what's right. And you can have an influence. This is kind of a silly example. I went to Sam's on, I think, Friday to get fuel. Traveled 27 miles to save $1 on gas. And so you guys have been there and done that too. And they were going to bring me lunch in, and I said, oh, I'll just grab some at Sam's. So I was standing at their snack bar, and I really wasn't even thinking about it, and I was humming something. And there was a lady in front of me, a colored lady, and she said, do you sing in the church choir? I thought, that's kind of a strange question. I said, no, I lead the church choir. And she said, you know, I go to a church, they don't have a choir. I used to sing the choir. I said, I love the choir. But they don't have a church choir at my church. I said, hey, my son-in-law's church, Winkler Road Baptist Church, they've got a church choir. I said, you ought to go over there. They've got a choir. Now, I know that's a little thing. But I thought, here I am, and I'm 900 miles from home, and just by living, have an influence. You know, you influence people all the time. You really do. And you influence them for good or for bad. Unfortunately, there have been times in my life when I'm glad people didn't know I went to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm glad they didn't know I was an assistant pastor at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church because they'd never come here. What kind of influence are you having? Now, I believe in soul winning. I believe we ought to knock on doors. But I'll be honest with you. You know how we reach most people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Most people are reached by people reaching people that they're around and that they know. Most people. Now, some of you are raised here, and I know that, but your family influenced you. But probably most of you look back, you started coming here because somebody you know invited you to come. Somebody had influence. And they influenced you for Christ. How many of you were led to the Lord by one of your parents? Led to the Lord by one of your parents? Yeah, many of us. How many were saved in church as a child? Why were you in church? Most of you, because your parents took you. Influence. Influence. Now, this lady, though she is a nobody, had great influence. Now, let's look on and see what happens as the story continues. So, they take this guy to the temple in verse 3. He was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. So here we got this scene outside the temple. Wickedness, wickedness, Baal worship, terrible, terrible, terrible. We got this scene in the temple. By the way, I just noticed this. Who's raising this kid? Her. Who's her? Jehoshaphat. The same one that rescued him. Raises him for 6 years and influenced him and trained him in the things of the Lord for 6 years. And here's this boy, and he's raised in the temple. He hears the singing of the Levites, the reading of the law, and boy, God really does a work in his life. And this goes on for 6 years, and Athaliah is reigning and doing terrible things. And then we see in verse 4 some great things happen. And I'm just going to read a bunch of this here. In the 7th year, Jehoiada, that's the high priest, who's married to Jehoshaphat, sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guards and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. So he brings in all these soldiers. They'd been hiding the king's son. Now he's 7 years old and they reveal it. And he commanded them, verse 5, saying, this is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Sur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And ye shall compass the king round about every man with his weapons in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. and be ye with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in. And the captains over the hundreds did according to all the things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. They took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath, with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guards stood, every man with his weapon in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. So Jehoiada gets all the armed guards and they put them all over the place in the temple. And they're going to protect him. They bring out the king. They play the trumpet. They put a crown on his head. And they say, God save the king. Wow, what an exciting time. So exciting for them, not so for somebody else. And that is Athaliah, verse 13. And when Athaliah, the wicked witch of the west, heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with the trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. Yeah, right. Talk about treason. Look at Athaliah. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the hosts, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there she was slain. And Jehoiada sits on the throne in the line of David, and God's promise has been preserved, and it's all because of one lady named Jehosheba. Now, next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the great things that Joash does. But I want to emphasize two things in conclusion. Okay? Number one, okay, God always keeps his word. Now look, when your life is falling apart, when things are not going the way you think they should go, when the devil attacks you and gets you to doubt your salvation, when the devil attacks you over other things that God has said, I want to remind you again, God always keeps his word. He said he would preserve the line of David. And I know it came down to one person, but God kept his word. God kept his word. God kept his word. My friend, this book is full of the promises of God. It's full of them. I want to remind you this morning, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he not said, and shall he not do it? God keeps his word. But secondly, God kept his word by using a lady named Jehosheba. I know I beat this to death. But she's nobody. That's exactly right. God used a nobody to do something great. And through that nobody, the promise of God was kept. Now, what are you going to do with it? This week, you're going to have the opportunity to influence a lot of people. You're going to be around a lot of folks. Now, some are going to have greater influence than others. I know that. But everybody here will have an opportunity to influence somebody. Somebody. Will you be like Jehosheba? Or will you say, you know what? Doesn't affect me. It's not my problem. If I get involved with that, it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me. By the way, influence, discipleship is costly. It'll cost you money. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you aggravation. boy, it's worth it. Look what it could have cost her. Look what it did cost her. And yet, look what happened. Because she paid the price. And I want to encourage you this week. Everywhere you go, whatever you do, influence people for Christ. Influence for Christ. Draw people to Christ. Live in such a way that they will want what you have. Glorify the Lord. This is what we talk about all the time, isn't it? Glorify the Lord. Give a proper reflection of who God is in your life and see how God is will draw people to himself. It's how you react to problems. It's how you respond in circumstances. It's how you make right choices at work. Influence for Christ. And if you still have children in your home, let me encourage you. Boy, God has given you someone you need to influence. And God forbid that we should go out to influence the world and fail to influence our own children. Okay? Lord, we thank you for this lady. What a challenge to my heart. Little known, in fact, not known at all. But Lord, through her influence, your promise was fulfilled. And you used her in a mighty way. And God, I pray this week for our class, for every person who's here this morning. God, help us, I pray, to be people who influence others for righteousness' sake, for Christ. May you be glorified. May you be seen in our lives. God, help us, I pray, this week, to be a godly influence, a godly discipler, drawing people to Christ through our lives, through our actions, through our words, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.